Thanks for downloading this show from PC One. Before we get rolling, here's a word from one of the folks who helped bring you this podcast. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on podcast1.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Thursday. Today's episode is brought to you by audible.com. Guys, go to audibletrial.com/Chael. You're going to get 30 days for free. Your first download is on them. It's essentially book on tape, but they've got over 200,000 different episodes in their library. You can get podcasts, commercial free, I might add. You can get comedy routines. I like it for the book. I like it for the books. But here's what I ask of you guys. Go to audibletrial.com/Chael. Enjoy your 30 days for free. But then tweet me suggestions of nonfiction books that are also entertaining. I've got to know. It's got to be entertaining and nonfiction. I want to be able to learn something in there. But for you guys, go to audibletrial.com/Chael. Enjoy your 30 free days. All right, a lot going on in the world of MMA. And it continues with this theme that, for me as a fan, is driving me nuts. We just got through the phenomenon of I want the money fight. Remember when we started hearing that, but then everybody started saying it? And it's like, guys, I've got to hear something else. I can't tune into a press conference. I can't click on your interviews. I just don't want to see this stuff. If you're saying the same thing that the other guy said, I don't give a damn what the topic is. If you start saying the same thing that the other guy said, I'm out. And for a meaningful period of time, all we could hear was, I want the money fight. I want the big money fight. I want the big money. Shut up. I want you to have the big money fights too. I want all of those things. We all do. Great. But five other guys said it. So now you're number six. I'm out. It doesn't matter what the topic is. I'm out. The UFC started enforcing a dress code where everybody had to dress the same way at press conferences. They look classy up there, but I'm not interested. I don't want cookie cutter stuff. I just don't want guys to look the same and say the same thing. It's the hardest thing in the world is to have other people interested in you. It's a really hard thing to do. A guy's got to be able to go be himself. He's got to have his own identity. He's got to have his own footprint, his own fingerprint in the world. Don't dress him the same, and damn sure don't talk him the same. And the new phenomenon, what gets me going on this, the new phenomenon is when guys are being given fights, big opportunities, mega fights that could headline shows and bring in attention and media and sell tickets and drive ratings and pay-per-views and do everything else that the industry needs. They're then turning them down. The guys are turning them down. Now, the story always ends the same. The house always wins. It's just like Vegas, guys. The house always wins. The fight's going to happen. So going out and refusing it and delaying things and holding things up in the first place, and all you're doing is irritating people. It's irritating to see. And if that's your plan, you know, Anderson Silva used to have the same exact recipe for every fight. No matter who his opponent was, he would refuse the fight. He would gain as many headlines for as long as he could. Once that died down, he would then accept the fight. Once those headlines died down, he would then put out some kind of a false rumor that he was injured and perhaps the fight was off. Once those rumors would die down, he'd go do the fight. It was the same thing every time, and that is not an insult to Anderson. It was unique to Anderson, and he did it. I noticed it because I was following his career. But he had the same recipe. Okay, fine. It was a little annoying when he did it, but he still achieved his goal. And he did it in a very timely fashion. He would deny the fight until those headlines went away. He would then accept the fight until those headlines went away. He'd wait a month or so, and then he'd come out with some kind of an injury report until those headlines went away. And then he would come out and clear the air and go, I don't know where those came from. I don't know who started that. I feel just fine until those headlines went. This is how he laid his architecture for groundwork before a fight to make sure the attention was out there. Fine. But when other guys started doing it, well, now it's annoying. Don't copy another guy's script. There can only be one guy up on stage with an accent and in a bow tie. And if you want it to be you, you need to be the first one to do it. I can bring this example up over and over, but I love to use the one of Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali is the greatest boxer of all time. Well, he was a damn good boxer, but that's where it ends. He was a damn good boxer. Why is he known as the greatest of all time? Because he said he was the greatest of all time. But most importantly, and do not forget this piece of the puzzle, he was the first one to say it. If he came along and five other guys claimed they were the greatest of all time, that moniker would not have stuck. He was a damn good boxer. No, he wasn't the greatest of all. Come on, please. But he was damn good, and he will be known forever as the greatest of all time because he claimed he was, and he claimed it first. Now we've got, there's your marketing tip for the day. Be first. Identify yourself before somebody does it for you. Demetrius Johnson, who has never had a big fight ever. Greatest talent out there. He's ranked number one. I don't believe he is better than John Jones, but the rankings say otherwise. Let's give it to him. On a hell of a streak right now. And beyond question, an amazing talent. But he wants big fights, and he's the first to tell you, look, I don't make very much money, but I just don't have very big draws in this division. He made a very good point before his last fight. He said, you know, we don't have a lot of drama or a lot of a-holes, I'm paraphrasing, in this division. So it's very hard to build interest. Well, he's right. There isn't a lot of drama going on down there, and that does create for some anticipation. He is right about that. And there's not a lot of jerks down there. He's the good guy. He's always going to be the good guy. That's never going to change. That spot is taken. That seat is filled by him. So a counterpart has to be a bad guy or somebody that you can find interesting. But being interesting is the hardest thing in the world to do. It's really difficult. It can happen. It can make for a big fight. It's just really hard to do. So he doesn't have any a-holes or any drama, which means he doesn't have a bad guy. Nobody wants to see two good guys fight. Okay, there's a reason that Spider-Man and Superman never went at it. There's a reason the Lone Ranger never got in a gunfight with John Wayne. Do you guys understand? There has to be a good and there has to be a bad. That's a little bit easier to do. So he's stuck. He's absolutely stuck. However, out of nowhere, TJ Dillashaw says, I'm going to go down to 145 and I'm going to challenge Demetrius Johnson. Great. Thank God and hallelujah. Is that going to do great numbers? Hell no, it's not. Is that going to do great numbers in comparison to anything else Demetrius has ever been part of? You bet your ass it is. So Demetrius Johnson comes out. I mean, this should be the greatest news in the world. This should have, I mean, talk, this is Christmas. This Christmas came early for Demetrius. He's going to continue the streak. He gets to take on a former world champion. Instant parity. I mean, you talk about super fights. That's a champion from one division taking on a champion from another division. TJ Dillashaw was the 135-pound world champion. Demetrius Johnson is the sitting flyweight champion of the world. That is a super fight any way you want to slice it. Now, again, I am saying in comparison to other things that Demetrius has had. Demetrius comes, instead of saying thank you, instead of saying wonderful, welcome, come on down, lose the weight, get on the scale, and let's do this. He says no. If he was following the blueprint of Anderson Silva, which is to say no just because that's part of the recipe, knowing full well eventually I'm going to say yes and I'm going to slip in the injury claim and that's how I'm going to get my media for the next 2 months and hope that people buy the pay-per-view, great. The problem with Demetrius is this guy's a poker player, man. He just tells it like it is. If he's saying no to the fight, he really means no. Again, the house always wins. You can bet your ass that fight's going to end up happening. Let's leave that out of it. Let's leave the reality of the conclusion that we all know out of it for a second and just look at it at face value. Demetrius is saying no. He then told TJ Dillashaw, come to 125, win a fight, and then you can get a title. First off, Demetrius and every other fighter there, you are not the matchmakers. That is not how this works. And you can hold that belt and think that gives you power all you want. It doesn't. It absolutely does not. And it shouldn't. And it's annoying. It's really annoying on top of everything else. Secondly, Demetrius, and far more importantly, TJ doesn't give a damn about your division. TJ could go fight for the title right now at 135. As a matter of fact, he has a signed contract to fight for the title at 135. As a matter of fact, he's fought for the title at 135 other times. As a matter of fact, he was the champion of the world at 135. So if you want TJ to do you a tremendous favor, which is what this does not serve TJ. TJ is not going to do better business or get a better opportunity cutting weight to 125 and coming after you than he would by staying at 135 and just fighting the contract that he's already got, which is for a world title that just had the backing of the Ultimate Fighter behind it. He's going to do better business up a weight. But if Cody's hurt and that fight can't go on, and TJ wants to be a team player and move business and move the company forward, maintain the shot for a world championship, and now bring you into the mix, the odd man out here is not TJ. The odd man out here, Demetrius, is you. You're the odd man out. You're the guy that doesn't have a dance partner that anybody cares about, and that's not a knock on you. This is a reality statement. That is just purely in reality. And I'm using your own words, Demetrius. You came out and told us 1 week before your last fight, we don't have any a-holes and we don't have any drama, and it's what's killing me from getting big fights. And you were right. TJ is not an a-hole, and TJ does not bring drama. But he can insert the one other element that we never talk about because it is so hard to get, which is TJ is interesting. And a fight between you and TJ, though it is not good versus evil, though it is not the Joker versus Batman, it is interesting. That's an interesting fight. TJ doesn't need you. You are not TJ's ticket to a world title. TJ has a contract right now signed to fight for a world title at the weight class that he chooses more comfortably to make and participate in. He is willing to walk away from it to come down to your division. If you want to play the whole get in the division and get in line routine, you got to be holding some cards. You're not holding them. TJ is. And next to TJ, the promotion is. And in this rare case, and for whatever reason, they both said okay. They both just did you a huge favor. And you looked a gift horse in the mouth. Look, for the fans that want to see that fight, you'll see that fight. You will see that fight. The house always wins. But why we have to deal with the drama and the phone calls and everything else that the bosses in the company have to put up with, man, do you want to fight or not? Are you one of these boxers that wants to protect some kind of a false legacy? You want to break the record and you want to do it with the easiest guy you can? Or do you want to go out and fight? Because that's what legacy gets represented on. When the story is written, and Manny Pacquiao ducked Floyd Mayweather, that's going to be reflected on. When the story is written and Floyd Mayweather ducked Manny Pacquiao for 5 years, that's going to be reflected on. And for you guys that talk about legacy, I can just tell you, when I was a young man in high school and I go watch the football games and guys that had graduated years before would show up wearing their Letterman's jacket, I thought they were weird. I didn't think it was a cool thing. I thought it was strange. When you guys grow out of fighting, when you grow out of sport, don't worry about being remembered. Leave it for the next guy who's in there, who's working his ass off, and whose opportunity is now. That's what it's about. It's not about the guy coming back and sitting in the front row and signing a couple of autographs and informing everybody who he is, as people in the crowd or women in the crowd are tapping their boyfriends and husbands saying, who's that? Who's that guy that just did a photo? Because no one knows. They shouldn't know. There's no reason you should be remembered forever. There's no reason the guys that graduated my high school should have showed up to the games wearing their Letterman's jacket. They just should. It's weird. Fight the fights you can fight. Win the ones you can win when you can win them. And say thank you and say yes to opportunity. All right, guys, moving on. Brew Chance has brought me some news, some scoop for the week. He says, in regards to Khabib Nurmagomedov, Khabib says he is training and plans to return in October for an interim title shot against Tony Ferguson. Well, that'd be cool, but I wouldn't hold my breath, man. That landscape changes fast. And now you're talking about October? Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's so far away. That's just so far away. They might not even need an interim title by then. Connor could be back by then. I suspect that he would be. It's got to be close. How far do you think that Connor-Floyd fight could be pushed out? I guess we'll find out very soon here. But they may not even need an interim title. And then if they do need an interim title, Khabib may not be the guy in the mix. There were so many moving parts. They just UFC just signed a guy, Justin Gaethje, the World Series champ. Don't know how he'll do, but if he can get a little head of steam behind. I mean, I'm just throwing out an example for you. The landscape changes very, very quickly. And when you're doing an interim title, it's usually because there's an injury. I understand that's not the case at 155. You've got the champion in Connor who's not injured, but he went on a hiatus for the birth of the child, and now he's getting ready to fight Floyd Mayweather. But can't you guys see the irony? Generally, an interim title is put together because there's an injury. So you're taking a guy who is injured and putting him in for the interim title. You see the problem there. Then what do you do when Khabib fights when he gets hurt again? Then you do an interim to the interim. Do you see the problem? The general theme, the general spirit around the interim title is to put two healthy guys in there that for the interim can carry the crown. So I don't know if I'm going to buy that one, but I do like that match. I like Khabib versus anybody. I think Khabib's fun. And we were promised the Tony Ferguson fight. I'm in for that. I just don't know about the interim title business. Oh, you know what? There was some other news. Brew Chance brings this to us, but I read this on my own. A 12-year-old girl wins her MMA debut in Japan. Momo, as she's called, is a young Japanese MMA fighter. She made her debut over the weekend at 12 years old. She scored a first-round victory by rear naked choke over a 24-year-old opponent. While this match was very controversial, it ended with the 12-year-old winning. Had it ended the other way, would there be a big uproar over this, and should there be? Well, yeah, there most definitely would be. Should there be is a little bit more philosophical. It is a little bit hard. Look, on first glance, a child versus an adult in a fight, that doesn't feel right, does it, guys? I mean, there's laws against that. That could not happen unless it was in a sanctioned competition. Then it did happen, so it wasn't a crime. But should it be a crime? And it's not quite as simple as saying, well, yeah, of course, a kid can't fight an adult. It's not quite that simple. I can just look at other sports, and adults do take on kids. Here in Oregon, you are an adult at 18. That's federal law. But we are sanctioned, all of our high school athletics is sanctioned by something called the OSAA. Oregon State Athletic Association. And there used to be a law that at 18 years old, you lost eligibility. So if you were ever held back, by example, which is a pretty common thing, whether you guys were held back, certainly you know someone who was. Certainly there was somebody in your class that was held back, probably a couple people. You would be 19. You would be ineligible. Now, that law actually went away in 1986. And now you can be 19. And still eligible for state sports. But again, stay with me. You're an adult at 18. So you put a guy on a football field where it's freshmen up to seniors. You got 14-year-olds out there. You got 15-year-olds out there. But you also could have some 19-year-olds out there. So now you have adults against kids. You could also have a 17-year-old against an 18-year-old. Well, sure, of course, a senior versus a freshman, a senior versus a junior, one's 17, one's 18, one's 18, one's 19. You guys see what I'm saying, though? So for other sports, we do allow adults. So it's not, now this was an extreme case, a 12-year-old. That's an extreme case. But the way the law defines it is under 18 minor, over 18 adult. So you have a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old, which is only separated, it could be as briefly as a day. But they're all going to the same school together. They're all playing the same sports together. So if MMA is a sport, which we're arguing that it is, then should it be held to some different standard? And I can tell you, So that's where the dialogue comes in. I guess if I was to weigh in on it, I'd say no, kids shouldn't be fighting adults. But there is a little bit of a discussion there. Because if you're going to have a sport and it's a real sport, kids have got to be able to start participating at a young age, much like they do with baseball and volleyball and tennis and golf and these other sports. So if you're going to have a real sport, you can't just start a guy when he's an adult and tell him he's not allowed to compete, because there was also some dialogue going on. Should kids be able to fight other kids? Should kids be able to fight was kind of the overwhelming theme. And that also was a little bit frowned on. I could tell you here in Oregon, where we sanction MMA, including on the amateur level, the same commissions that will be in the back and oversee a UFC or a Bellator show, Strikeforce when they came, are the same guys that will oversee the amateurs. And they say no. They say nobody under 18, period. But it does come back to, hey, wait a minute, if this is a sport, then it has to be treated like all sports. It cannot be discriminated against, which means people of all ages get to participate. So there is a dialogue there, at least. And I can remember, because it's only been two cycles, they did this with gymnastics. And what was the rule? Nobody under 15, according to International Olympic Committee rules, can participate in a gymnastics team. And that's foul ball. That's way out of line. And they had their reasons for doing it and blah. They're crap. The Olympics is about us putting a medal around whoever the best on the planet is. You cannot. I can't believe there wasn't an uproar amongst the gymnastics community, but I can just tell you as a fan, that's crap. That's crap to put a gold medal around a 16-year-old's neck if there's a 13-year-old that's better than her. And particularly the ages of gymnasts, and particularly the females. They have a much smaller window. You can just go back over history and look at the ages. So you could miss a quad. Now you're separated by 4 years. So the point is, you know, that age stuff, it's relevant. It's not as simple as saying a kid versus an adult. It's not as simple. On first glance, you look at it and go, well, no. But on second glance, can you discriminate if this is, in fact, a sport? And we've argued it is, and we've got all 50 states on board to say it is. So can you discriminate? You can't let kids fight kids and compete with, you know, kids versus kids, and now kids versus adults. I don't know. I think that there should be a little bit of a dialogue there. But I do get Brew Chance's point, and he is steadfastly right on that, that had that gone the other way, and a 12-year-old went out there and got ground and pounded by a 24-year-old, boy, that doesn't look good. That would really put a bad taste in everybody's mouth. So now you come down to, well, what parameters do you want to do? What kind of sanctioning do you want to do? What kind of commissions? What kind of checks do you want to do? What kind of weigh-ins? What kind of parental guidance? Exactly what goes into it? I don't have those answers. But again, you can't discriminate. If a sport's a sport, unless you're doing those background checks and those sanctionings for basketball, football, and baseball, you can't do it for MMA. I think that would be an argument. That argument might get beat somewhere. I don't know, but I think that that would be an argument that it can't be treated differently. We had in Oregon, before the commissions were formed, the commission was formed out here in 2004. If I'm wrong, it was 2005. Before that, we had a promoter that did a male versus female fight. The female won. But could you imagine if it was a ground and if a guy threw a girl down, pinned her against the cage and started dropping elbows and fists on her? I mean, that just doesn't look, that just doesn't feel right. And anything in this society has got to pass the smell test right out of the gate. If it doesn't smell right, it doesn't look right. I mean, even the Supreme Court said, we can't completely define for you what inappropriate is, but we will know it when we see it. And they were met with some resistance for that. People are going, wait, the highest court in the country can't give us guidelines? But they're right. I get what they mean by that. I don't have a problem with that statement. You will know it when you see it. And that's the official law of the land. Guys, it's treat day at my house, and I'm talking about for my dog because I've got BarkBox. Established in 2011, BarkBox is committed to making dogs happy, and they work with local and independent businesses to achieve this very thing. In fact, they only work with vendors who also care deeply about the health and happiness of dogs. BarkBox is concerned with all dogs, even those who don't have a human to call their own. They support shelters, rescues, and nonprofits across the U.S., and they help dogs find that forever home. Having shipped over 16 million toys and treats so far, they've also learned a ton about what it takes to engage your special pet. Aside from the unique and fun paw ducks from local vendors found in each and every BarkBox, they've even got their own products and their own Bark & Company brand. They paw pick the best natural treats and innovative toys to match a dog's unique needs, including allergies. So enough about the pet. Here's what it does for you, the human, the owner. BarkBox is a delivery up to 4 to 6 natural treats and super fun toys, curated around a surprise theme each month. For dogs, BarkBox is like the joy of a million belly scratches. So guys, here's what you do. Go to getbarkbox.com/chale. They're going to give you a free month. Sign up. Let them know your dog's size. Choose a plan. And then get BarkBox. It ships on the 15th of every month. You don't even know what's going to be in the box. They're constantly creating new toys and new treats, but every single month delivered to your door is going to be a surprise for your pet. I'm a pet lover. Mr. Danger Waffles loves BarkBox. I don't have to take him to the store. I like taking him to the store. I don't like that he jumps around and acts like a maniac around the other dogs while I'm picking out his treats. Now I don't have to do that. BarkBox does it for me. Go to getbarkbox.com/chale.
Today on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, we are joined by actor, producer, director, author. What else can you do, Bryan Cranston?
I sweep floors.
You do?
And I load a dishwasher really, really well.
Do you unload it?
Not too many.
Okay.
Too
many. We could give you a job in our
house.
The
talent is loading it, not unloading.
No, the talent is buying the dishes that fit together and not the dishes that I buy that don't fit in the dishwasher.
Well, I could teach you how they can fit.
Okay, Bryan, right. Thank you. That's Bryan Cranston on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Be sure to listen on Podcast One or through the Podcast One app and Apple Podcasts.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Now, guys, I was talking to you yesterday. All hell had broken loose. There was a retreat over the weekend with the UFC, and it used to be called the UFC Summit. I like that they renamed it Retreat because, guys, this is a vacation. This is costing the promotion anywhere from $1.5 to $2 million. Every single athlete gets flown in. And don't forget, I mean, there's 556 guys on the roster. They're from all over the world. Imagine what those plane tickets cost and hotels and everything else. So they call it a retreat, and it created the biggest drama of the weekend. In many ways, it had more headlines than Paul Daly and Rory McDonald or Paul Daly's street fight with MVP in the crowd. But one of the biggest things that happened is Chris Cyborg, for reasons unknown, decided it was a good idea to confront Angela Magana. And I saw a little video of this, and I was against it from the beginning because Cyborg was upset, apparently, that she had felt she was disrespected by Angela. And it's like, first off, Angela is under no obligation to respect you, Cyborg, or anybody else for that matter, in fairness. She's in the fight game, and the fight game before the action takes place has a lot of words. And if she's trying to build some kind of anything, whether it's an excitement, a buzz, a flame, attention, anything, that's fair game. And to confront her when she's essentially on a vacation, a business retreat, is just inappropriate. Now, I'm joined right now by Angela, and Angela, all I know is what I've read, but I did see a video, so I don't think I'm talking out of school. I feel like I have the facts right. Can you tell me, can you just walk me through it? It looked like you were outside. Take me from there.
Okay, I'll take you from a bit before that. So we're all on a bus coming back from a lunch tour thing at the facility, the new UFC facility, and I'm sitting on the bus, and Cyborg is literally sitting next to me, where I can reach over and touch her without having to reach. That's how close this woman was next to me. She didn't look at me, didn't say anything to me. We get off the bus, and I was talking to some other fighters, And she has all of her friends start gathering up and pulling out their cell phones. Beck, by the way, was not the one who had the video. The USC made them send it over and made them, like, somehow transfer it over on phones really quickly to Beck. So all her friends have it. You can see in the video, there's other people recording. But there's also the security cameras that the cops use. She decided to come up to me and confront me and tell me that I had to respect her. And when her intimidation factors didn't intimidate me and it didn't work, she attacked me. Because she had to be alpha in front of all her friends and show off. And now she's going to have to pay the consequences.
So, Angela, I saw the video and I watched it a few times. And the one that I saw, and I imagine it's the one that the viewer saw as well, it's the one going around online. I couldn't see the punch. I knew it had happened, but it was like somebody's head popped in the way just at that millisecond. So, I mean, what did she hit you with? A right, a left, a hook? I just couldn't see it.
It had to have been a right, yeah. I believe it's a right. I didn't see it coming, honestly. I just kind of felt something, and then I realized I'd been hit. And then they pulled her back, and it's like, even if that was going to be like, I didn't even have the opportunity to defend myself. You know what I mean? Like, so even if I did defend myself, she would still be in the wrong, but there would be a gray area. But the fact that I did not throw a punch or even try to defend myself, it's completely cut and dry. There's no getting out of it.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no way around it. I mean, yeah, you don't have to be some kind of a prosecutor to realize you just can't do that. Hey, tell me what this means in your opinion, because I've been in your shoes. I've been the one that has been confronted at situations like this. And I'm kind of looking around going, you got to be kidding me. We're a bunch of fighters in the fight business. If we're going to do this, there's a way we can do it. We have the only job in the world where if you don't like the person working in the cubicle or on the job site next to you, there's actually something we can do about it. So what are you coming up for? And I've had, you know, people with the cameras and the whole bit, and it's been premeditated. It's really just irritating to me. But there was one common theme, and that was when I was confronted as well, they used the same words. They said, respect me. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? First off, I don't fully understand what that means. But second off, what would you care if I respect you or not? Why would that possibly make a difference in your day? If you want to fight about it, I'm in.
Yeah.
But there's a way to do that, and it's not here and now. Am I right on that, or am I crazy?
You're completely right, and you have to earn respect. You don't earn respect by being a steroid abuser. I'm sorry. And the thing is, everybody wants to jump on this, oh, how dare you sue her. Well, let's not forget when Slyborg tried to sue, I don't know if it was for libel or slander, I got that mixed up, for Ronda Rousey for saying she was on steroids. Like, for saying the truth. You can't get in trouble for saying the truth. And plus, even if she wasn't poking fun at her, anybody poking fun at her, you cannot get in trouble. And then she wants to do this weird passive-aggressive letter to her nation. Like, who does she think she is? Anyways, to her Cyborg nation, and pretty much blaming it on Joe Rogan and Dana White for hitting me. What is wrong with this person?
I read that too. It was a nice sympathetic letter. I thought, okay, I'm understanding your inside a little bit. You're more sensitive girl than maybe a lot of people would paint you as, but how that has anything to do with you punching Angela while she's on a corporate retreat in Las Vegas on the street somewhere, that you just, there's no leap you can make big enough to tie those two together. I did think it was an interesting letter. I read it. Okay, well, I kind of felt bad for us. Cyborg, you got your feelings hurt. I don't like that someone got their feelings hurt. What in the hell does that have to do with what you did with Angela? That you cannot tie those two together. You just can't.
No, you absolutely cannot. It's comparing apples to oranges, and there's no comparison.
So tell me where this stands. So you call the police and you say, hey, I've been assaulted. Do they do anything?
I call the police. The USC called the police.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were already dialing it, and I was like, call the police. Like, I don't even, like, in a fair fight, you get to defend yourself. I mean, you get there as a fight, but, you know, you can't, like, fuck that. You assaulted me. You attacked me. I wasn't even looking, and you punched me. If you said, let's go, we put our hands up, that's consensual. Maybe we can both get in trouble, but it's not a battery. I mean, disruption of the peace. I have no idea. I'm not an attorney, but you can't just do that. You can't cheap shot somebody. Like, and the thing is, it causes damage, especially if the person's not expecting it. If I had a 10-year-old who had been training for 1 year, punch anybody my size, anybody pretty much for what, any size, and you're not expecting it, and your face is completely relaxed, your neck completely relaxed, it's going to do damage. That's what people don't understand. And a lot of people want to go on about, well, what about when John Jones and Cormier? They can push each other. What about that Chisea? The guy didn't even know he was punched until later. What about Beth and Ronda? None of those caused any kind of injury. The UFC themselves said this has never happened in UFC history. And they are fucking pissed.
Yeah, no, and there's a lot more to it. And, you know, you could play the what if game too. You know, let's say you tackle her and all of a sudden you're on top of her. You think her friends aren't going to jump? I mean, handling it the way you handled it is that was just the right way to do it. So well, good for you, and I hope you're okay.
Yeah, I'm good. But you can't, only a fool can't keep themselves out of trouble. You know what I mean? So, geez, that's like, a fool cannot keep themselves out of trouble. I'm not a fool when it comes to this. I know what I'm supposed to do. And the thing is that, like, rules of combat, too. If you want to punch somebody, like, this is a little hint. I guess this is my little criminal mind that I could use if I wanted. If you want to punch somebody, be smart enough and be so present in mind that you put your hands up first, make it look like they're coming at you, like you have to defend yourself, and then you punch them. Come on. Like, be smart about it. If you're going to break laws, please do it in a way that you can get away with it.
Well, it definitely also sounds like it was very premeditated. I didn't know about the bus situation. Yeah. So, yes, to your point, I do understand it. Now, let me switch gears on you, because there was so much drama that came out of this retreat. What happened with the Budweiser guy? Were you there for that speech?
Nope, I was not.
Oh, okay. You heard about it.
Me and Ian McCall ditched a lot of it. We went there for the Kobe Bryant. We weren't there. me and him and his wife were being naughty all together. We ditched it. A lot of us ditched. A lot of people would ditch certain things and return certain things. I just got a bit crazy after a while. Like, we have this guy from the Shark Tank telling us, I don't even know to watch the damn show, telling us that we need to buy businesses and we have to do this and we have to do that. And I was like, none of us are even focused on that. They were like, we don't even have enough money to even think about investing yet. Like, I don't even get what you're saying. It was so funny because it's like, this world is just so money-driven. And honestly, if I had $5 million, I'd still be doing the goddamn same thing I've been doing for the last 5 years. Like, we all don't want all this money. We don't want money. And when he asked everybody to raise their hand, whoever is rich, I was the only person that raised my hand. But these were just questions he didn't even want answers to. But I raised my hand because it's like, you know what? Riches go far beyond money. I am rich in love. I am rich in friendship. I am rich in happiness. You know, and honestly, I feel like, you know what's wrong with the rich is you have to live among the rich. I don't want to, if I was as rich as this guy standing on stage, I would not have been wearing those clothes that he was wearing, the smart clothes trying to show off. I would have been wearing the most relaxed, casual thing I could fucking wear. Like, I don't understand this culture. And for me, it didn't vibe with me. But maybe it vibe with everybody else. But for me personally, it wasn't my thing.
All right. Hey, I love it. I didn't even know about the Shark Tank guy. So, all right. So you ditched. You and Ian and the wife went out and you guys had a good time. Well, the Budweiser thing happened. So I'll have to get further investigation on that. What happened? There was a gentleman that was on The Ultimate Fighter. I believe his last name is Johnson. And something happened with him and a Reebok representative. Were you present for that class?
Nope.
Did you go to any class besides Shark Tank and Kobe?
Yeah. I went to a class where the guy was like a motivational speaker. But then there was a guy they had talking to us that was a YouTuber, and I didn't understand behind the thought behind that. Like, what is a guy who is a YouTuber? Like, that's the thing now. Come on, I'm a bit old school, and trying to tell us what to do and how to run things. Like, that's just a bit. I didn't understand that. So I just didn't participate. And the UFC didn't make us participate in anything. So they stayed true to their word of retreat. Like, these were tools that we could use if we wanted. And if we didn't, we didn't have to.
Yeah, oh, fully. I went to a couple of them. They used to call it a summit. I love that they moved the word to retreat, because they were just so much fun. You know, you're out there in this beautiful place. You got all your friends around, people around. There's food, there's drinks. You got the nice room, the whole bit. I like that they call it a retreat, which is one of the reasons I'm a little resentful on your behalf that this happened to you. I mean, essentially, it's a retreat is one step away from the word vacation. I think we could use them synonymously. You should not be confronted or punched when you're on vacation. Regardless of what sensitivities was going on with the other person, it just shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, exactly. And all these people want to talk crap. And honestly, I don't even know. I just had an interview with TMZ, and like, well, what would you say to these people who I was like, honestly, like, I've already said a lot online. I've had fun doing this, but what is it? My business what they think? Like, if I try to think about all these different minds that have these different thoughts about me, I'd be so exhausted. Why would I spend any of my energy towards being caring what anybody says or thinks about me. Like, that's the most ridiculous thing. I know who I am, and the voice on the inside is way louder than all the voices on the outside. Like, all that matters to me is, like, me and my family and what they think. And honestly, you know, at the end of the day, if my family thinks something bad about me, I don't care. That's on them. Like, I know who I am, and I know I'm a wonderful person. Not if you want to talk crap and all the cyborgs, and what she does this, and she does that. It's just like, I am building a gym with my own resources, my own connections, in the oldest slum in America, the most feared place in Puerto Rico. I am giving free instruction to these children every day. I hang out with these children every day, above and beyond. Like, I am doing so much good in Puerto Rico right now. And the funny thing is, if I put something online showing anything about that, I get no love, I get no views. And if I put something else up, I get 50,000 views. Like, come on, people. And the ones that cry about you should do something positive, don't give any energy towards the positive. All anybody wants to do is give energy towards the negative. Come on. The masses are asses. The masses are asses.
A lot of truth to that. I watch the news every day, and it always starts out something negative and dark and gloomy, and that's what they lead with because that's where the big stories are. You're right. There's not a lot of interest in somebody going out and doing good or doing the right thing, sadly, but you are right on that point.
No, it's disheartening. It really is, because I'm a wonderful person, and I'm doing beautiful things in Puerto Rico, things that have never been done. Nobody can even open a business in La Perla because the community has to accept you. And if they don't, there was a woman who bought a hotel, tried to start a hotel, and they ran this woman out, and she can't even go back there to even get anything out of her place. Like, that's how gangster it is there. But nobody cares. Nobody cares about that. They just care that Cyborg was in a children's hospital with cancer and her father had cancer that day. I'm like, are your guys' arms tired from trying to reach so damn far? I didn't even realize there was anything cancer-related going on in that picture. I was merely looking at her fucking face. Give me a break, some simple-minded people. They just try to take anything and hold on to it. That's it. It's so nuts. And even these big MMA articles, I put in that little part in it, and her father was in cancer, had been battling with cancer. And my motherfucking mother is dead. And my fiance died. And I, you know what I mean? And the list goes on forever. If we want to say, want to go into these stupid details of what happened in our life when a picture is taken.
Yeah, I hear you on that. And yes, there are plenty of negatives out there. But again, like we said earlier, to make the leap between one to an assault and the other is just there. You just can't. One just simply has nothing to do with the other. All right. Let me leave you on this. And I really appreciate you coming on and clearing this up and educating me on some of this. I do want to ask you one thing, though. You have challenged her to a grappling match. Is that a sincere challenge? If Cyborg was to say, yes, I accept, let's go wrestle, are you in?
110%. As long as there's a referee there, a legit referee, who will call it if she tries to throw an elbow or something dirty and disqualify her. Yeah, 100%. Because you know what? I can wrestle for a long time, and all I've ever wrestled is were men. And she falls under that category. And she, and I know how to survive. The thing is, I'll tire her out. She can't fucking survive that long. If I know if I can submit, I'll choke a bitch out, man. Like, I am 100% down. And I'll take a gi. Like, you put a little kid against an old, like, in the kids' classes, we put these kids together, and the little one beats the big guy. I mean, it's jiu-jitsu, too, but when you have a gi, you can control the person a lot more. So let's do it in a gi. If I'm giving up all that weight, let's do it in a gi, and no time limit for the sub. I don't care.
Well, I will tell you this.
I really be like talking.
As it turns out, I happen to know somebody in the grappling business, so I will get back to you on this topic. But thank you, Angela. Thank you very much, and I'm glad you're okay. I hope your trip was good otherwise. And if you were hanging out with Ian, then I know you had at least a fun time because that's a hell of a fun guy. Thanks for everything. You have anything else you want to get off your chest?
Any what? Pardon?
Anything else you want to share with the fans? Get off your chest.
Not really. No, I don't have anything. But thank you for having me.
All right. You're awesome. I'll be in touch. Thanks, Angela.
You too. Thanks. Have a good day.
All right. Kaboom. I mean, I guess that was the story. I'm looking at Justin right now, the producer in here. Look, I guess that was the story we had from the beginning. We had a video of it, so there really wasn't much room for confusion. It was pretty quick. I didn't know about the bus scenario. And I don't want to kick Cyborg while she's down. I mean, look, she's got some legal thing going on. That really isn't my message here, but I also don't want to walk the fence and make believe like that was okay. Angela was on vacation. She's minding her own business. Okay. She should not have been confronted in the first place. She certainly shouldn't have been punched. It really does just start and stop right there. I thought she was a good guest. That was interesting. I didn't know she was getting a gym going in Puerto Rico. Good for her. And she's right. That is a tough place to do business. So, we got any other thoughts? I really don't have anything else. I mean, I could go back on that conversation, but I felt like she summed it up. I'm still curious. I'm not quite done with the Budweiser guy yet. For some reason, this is interesting to me. For some reason, I can't let the Budweiser guy off the hook. Even if I should, I need to know what happened there. I just need to know for my own etiquette. All right, I guess I will have to get those details. I will have to get back to you all. Guys, I'm sorry, I got to run. Little bit of a quick show, and I got a little piece of bad news for you. There will be no show tomorrow. It is a simple scheduling conflict. I have some other commitments. I apologize, but I want you all to have a wonderful weekend. Until next Wednesday, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, I'm Emmanuel Acho, host of Beyond the Film Room, where we take the muzzle off the mouths of premier athletes. Every Thursday, join me and your favorite sports figures as we tackle the uncharted topic of sport and discuss the far-reaching impact outside of the stadium itself. Download episodes every Thursday at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe at iTunes.